Himmel Adar Rishon, Monday the 3rd of February, Rabbi Yosef Mizrahi, establishing a strong connection to Hashem.
Good morning. An Israeli company needed to order a special machine, a robot full of computers for a big factory in Israel from Japan, worth millions of dollars. So after they told the Japanese exactly what they need, the Japanese built for them this brilliant robot, which cost millions of dollars, and they shipped it by a boat to Israel. After they shipped it, they gave them the instructions, the manual, how to turn the machine on and how to use the machine and get the best benefits possible. After they assembled the machine, they followed all the instructions, the machine was not working. Just couldn't get it to work. For 1 week, the Israeli technicians are trying to get the machine to work. They keep calling Japan back and forth, and they're just not getting the machine done. And the Japanese are trying to explain to them. They said, maybe you send a defected machine. So we tested it before it left Japan. It's a disaster now to send it back by the boat. It will take months until we make you a new machine. You lose millions of dollars. No. So they say the Japanese, okay, well, we will have to send our team here to Israel to maybe there's something you missed. So they say, okay, we'll try one more time. And then, all of a sudden, one person say, did you connect the wire to the wall? I say, you gotta be kidding. You didn't test it? I say, go around, it's a huge machine. Go all around, in between the machine to the wall, see if it's connected good. And they went there and they found out that it wasn't connected good. Someone stuck it in, but it wasn't all the way in. So the entire machine with all the works and the efforts actually was not connected, and it was worthless. Millions of dollars, it couldn't work. Why do I start my short speech here today with this story? Because it seems that sometimes we are in the same situation. We come to shul 3 times a day, we learn some daf yomi, some learn half a day, some full day, we do tzedakah, we work on Yirat Shamayim, we try to elevate our emuna. And then sometimes it seems that we really don't have a connection to Hashem. What does it mean? I live in Muncie, New York, and I work in very, very seriously in the United States and the rest of the world, but mainly in America. I travel, I give lectures everywhere. I have a guy who makes my CDs, which I actually bought you some free CDs. You can take them right there. So he makes my CDs. And at one point, he decided that he wants to sell the company. He has all this equipment, the machines. He was trying to sell the machines. So two ultra-Orthodox people, you know, from Bert, nice long beards, black hat, black and white. They have everything that a from Jew supposedly have. They came to buy the business, a father and son. So the CD guy, he was telling them, this is how much I made, this is the expenses. So they look at the papers of the business, they saw the business is not so profitable. So they said to him, oh, we see that your main customer is Mizrahi. He makes a lot of CDs. The rest, they do once in a while. They don't do on a daily basis. He said, yes. So what happens if one day he leaves you, the business goes down to zero? Basically, you lose. You're bankrupt. He said, no, don't worry. He's not going to leave. He made me bal tshuva. It's not a matter of only business. It's already more into it. So they say, we don't think that the price that you're asking for the business justify the profit. We don't really think there's not such a great opportunity here to make profit. So then he told them, the innocent bal tshuva, he trained the way the Torah teach, the way Chazal speaks, the way the Gemara teach, the way all the Rishonim speak, the way every normal rabbi would speak. He told them, but think about how many Baalei Tshuva this business makes every month. It's not only the business. What's better, to make an extra $5,000-$10,000 a month, or to make extra 200-300 Baalei Tshuva every month? They come Shomer Shabbos, I get lots of phone calls, people order CDs, people becoming frum. So the guy told him, that's good for the books and for the lectures. Now let's talk business, please. So he called me up, he said, I don't understand. What? I didn't know there's two different Judaism. Judaism for the books and Judaism for life. It sounds very awkward, but sometimes it happens to us also. Oh, it's beautiful for the books. It's a nice Musar talk. But tachles, like they say in Israel. Halacha lemaaseh, what? I want the money. Don't give me a beautiful speech. The connection to Hashem is not always good. Now we have to talk, what are the obstacles you think between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? After all, I want to believe, that every full Jew that gives up so much from this nonsense world wants to be an Eved Hashem. Why does he need all this? He wants to achieve something. He wants to establish something. He wants to be a tzaddik, right? Does anyone here doesn't want to be a tzaddik? Anyone here doesn't want to leave this world and go to Gan Eden, to Olam Haba, to all these wonderful prizes that Hashem promised? I believe everyone wants. So the question is, what really is the obstacle between us and Hashem? Who can tell me what is the main thing that separates a frum Jew between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? As a very serious obstacle, separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The main separation, what is it? What do you think?
Connection.
Well, what's make the connection not tight enough?
Yes.
Well, Yetzer Hara is too general. I want to be more specific. Very good. Right away, Baruch Hashem, there's an answer right here. What is it? Gashmius. Gashmius. We say in a tefillah, Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem. Speaking, it brings some winds, and the winds bring the clouds, and the clouds get together, and they give us rain. That's the pshat. What's the secret here? Mashiv HaRuach, you want to have Gashmius. Real kosher, healthy Gashmius. Fair Mashiv HaRuach. Work on your ruach, on your spirituality. And I have nothing to worry about the Gashmius. It will come as a part of the deal, as a bonus. You don't have to worry about. So we all know the formula. The more emunah you have in Hashem, the more bitachon you have, the less you have to work. We all know that. The less emunah you have, which means, some people ask this famous question, how much is shtadlus I have to do? In shiduchim, in parnasa, in so many things. How much is shtadlus? So the Chazonish said, I accepted on myself never to do something more than twice. I try once, fail, didn't work out. I went to a meeting, person didn't show up. I would go one more time. Second time it did not work out. They tell me, come now, it will work out. Third times, I don't go. I have a rule. Once it did not work out, I try one more time. Third time, I will never try. Even if the money is on the table, that's it. I tried already, the maximum is 2 times. So one person did 8 ishtadluyot, 8 times. He went, the business didn't go. He went again, didn't go. Went again, call, went, wait for the owner by the parking lot, met him in shul, went to, tried everywhere, chasing him for a month. In the end, this guy say, you know what, this guy's not giving up. Okay, signed the papers and he made the deal. So you see, I'm smarter than the Chazonish. Chazonish, if it would be Chazonish, Chazonish would lose the deal. I just made a $1 million contract. What made me successful is the efforts and being stubborn and not giving up and devotion. And finally, I made it. Technically, he has a point, no? You know, with results, you cannot argue, really. He got the deal. Someone who would have done it twice would not get the deal. True or false? Why false? For sure false, but why false? Oh, now we have something very interesting. We know the Gemara, בדרך שאדם רוצה ללך מוליכים אותו. We choose where we want to walk, which path we want to choose, and Hashem is helping us whatever we want to do. You want to be a businessman, Hashem helps you in business. You want to be a Talmid Chacham, Hashem will help you in learning. You want to be Chas V'Shalom a Rasha, who helps you? Who gives you oxygen to be a Rasha? Who gives you the energy to walk to bad places? Who gives you the mind to steal? Who? Hashem helps you. Supposedly Hashem is helping you in every step. Why? Because it's Bechira. It doesn't interfere with your Bechira. It'll help you with whatever you choose, and later we'll do the calculation. What do I owe you or what do you owe me? Once Hashem knows that there is a person like the Chazon Ish who has such a level of emuna and bitachon in him, he will never try more than twice. Hashem is limited to give him his success maximum in two times. If Hashem wants him to have it, he will be forced to give it to him either the first or maximum the second time. Because there will not be a third time, and Hashem knows. Be'derech she'adam rotzeh lilech. This is your way. This is the standard you set. I have to do it the way you, because it's based on confidence. It's not you lazy. You lazy, you will try a million times, it won't help. If you're not lazy, if it's as a result of real connection and confidence to Hashem, that you're not afraid. If somebody asks you, how do I know I'm a confident Jew, that I have confidence in Hashem? How do I know? What's the indication if a person is a real believer in Hashem, is really trusting Hashem in a very high level? There's no 100%, but it can get to a very high percentage of emuna and bitachon. But how do I know? Maybe I live in illusion. Maybe I don't even have 1% emuna and bitachon. Maybe I have 10%. Maybe I have 50%. How do I know to rate myself? It's a very famous question. How do I know how much ishtadlus I have to do? It says, if you have emuna and bitachon in a very high level, you don't need to do hardly any ishtadlus. An hour a month, it's enough. One or two phone calls a month, it's enough for parnasa. Shiduchim. You speak to one or two shatchanim, 5 minutes to each. You know who I am. This is my telephone number. Goodbye. There's one American boy. He went to yeshiva in Tzfat. Baal tshuva. Started to learn. After 3 years, he said to himself, you know, I mean, with all due respect to the yeshiva, I think that the program of the yeshiva is holding me back. I want to close myself in a room. By now, I'm independent in my limud. I know how to learn Daf Gemara, Rashi, Tosfot. That's it. I don't need the program of the yeshiva. Too many people, too many questions. They're holding me back. I want to finish Shas. So he took the Gemarot, he took everything. He rented a little room in one of the buildings, and he decided to lock himself in until who knows when. So he asked one of the Bachurim there, can you do me a favor? Once or twice a week, knock on my door, come. I'll give you some money. My father sends me money from America. Just buy me grocery stuff, you know, that I can survive. What do you mean? You don't want to come out of the room? No. I want to sit here, ב-4 amot של הלכה, and to learn. I don't want to see anybody. Just to sit, to lekadesh את עצמי. That's it. So the boy, the guy said, okay, I'll get you whatever you need. So he said, but what about shiduchim? It's mitzvah, pro-ruvu. You have to do something to get married. You're not ben-azai. שחזל זה, אחרי ben-azai, בטלו השקדנים. He said, I have, Baruch Hashem, already such level and confidence in Hashem that I'm certain that when my time comes, Hashem will send me my shiduch to this room. This boy said to him, come on, who are you, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? I don't think Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would have such emuna that he locked himself in a cave and the shiduch would look for him. Oh, Rabbi Shimon, oh, you're hiding in a cave? I came, I heard you're looking for shiduch. What are you? The guy is giving him musa. He said, listen, you believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. I only ask one thing, supply me with groceries. I give you the money, that's it. It takes 5 minutes. I say, okay, no problem. 3 years he's in a room. Nobody knocks on the door, besides the grocery guy. Nobody. And he keeps telling him, no, you still think they're going to ever get married? Okay, don't say I did not warn you. One day, a girl knocks on the door. He opened the door. She said, hi, is Mishpachat Ochayon here? So he got very disappointed. He said, no, they're right here, the other side of the hallway. And the girl was very nice looking girl, looks very modest, just like he was dreamed to have. So he said to her, excuse me, I'm not trying to be rude. I just want to tell you a little thing, and then you can go if you don't mind. So she looks at him. He said, listen, you know, I was learning in yeshiva 3 years. We came from America. I was learning downstairs right here. And now I'm 3 years. You see, with all these books here, I'm here in a room for 3 years. I learned Torah. And every day I pray with tears to Hashem, if when the time comes for me to get married, make sure that the girl would come and knock on my door. I told her, 3 years, nobody knocked on my door. First girl who ever knocked on my door, it's you. I just wanted to tell you this story. Have a nice day. The girl went to whatever she had to do. The next day, another person knocked on his door. Shalom, I'm the Shatran. My name is such and such. I remember the girl yesterday, she actually said that you're exactly the type of guy she's looking for. And they got married. Would it happen to us? Probably not. Or maybe yes, I don't know you. It probably won't. Why? Because many people think or claim that they have high level of confidence, but they don't. What's the proof? If you're a landlord and the tenant is late on a payment, you get angry? Most likely yes. That's already a problem with emunah and confidence. How a person should be upset that someone doesn't pay him? Shouldn't even bother him, bichlal. Emunah. The parnasah comes in general from Hashem. It comes from the apartment. It comes from the tenant. Ma pitom. One person came to the Chazon Ish and he said, Rabbi, I'm very upset. Why? I have a grocery store which hardly makes a living. And this guy came and he's opening across the street, the same one. I want you to write a letter that he should not be. Yored la'omanot chavero. It's Rasha. What's going on here? So the Chazon Ish said, I want you to go and tell him, welcome to the neighborhood. If you need any help, please come to me. I'll give you my supplier's name. If anything else you need, please let me know. So he said to the Chazon Ish, I come to cry for you for my parnasa and my children's food, and you tell me, go help your enemy? The Chazon Ish said to him, do you really think that your parnasa come from the grocery? And you call yourself a believer? How is it possible? Parnasa come from Hashem, and now you made Hashem a pipe where to throw the parnasa through. Yeah, Hashem doesn't like it, he'll give it from somewhere else. It's not limited to your grocery. Can make you find a wallet. Like the Evan Ezra. You know the story of the Evan Ezra? The Evan Ezra was so poor, one time, 3 days, he did not have a piece of bread. That's how poor he was. So his Talmidim knew he doesn't want to accept tzedakah. Very poor, but he refused to accept tzedakah. So they said, how are we going to give him money if he doesn't get it? So one guy had an idea. I said, we'll put a wallet on the street when he comes. We'll put it on the street and he'll find it. And it's not tzedakah. He found it. So they say, okay. So one guy said, here, he's coming. He's about to make the turn. So they put the money with the bag on the floor. And all of a sudden they see the Ibn Ezra is walking with his eyes closed. And he walks over the wallet. So what's going on here? They took it. And they say to him, Rabbi, can we ask you a question? We saw you yesterday on the street walking with your eyes closed. What's the pshat? So he said, I was so hungry for days. I was thinking to myself, what does Hashem want from me? I learn, I give my life for the Torah. Not asking for anything special. One piece of bread a day to eat, not to die from starvation. It's hard. Then I saw a blind person. How he doesn't see anything. So I was thinking to myself, what's better, to be hungry every once in a while for a few days, or everything in your life is black screen? Black all your life, you see only nothing. I said to myself, oh, I'm such a lucky person. I gozer on myself, I made a decree on myself that I have to feel one day what it's like to be blind. So they told, that's the famous say that we have, Rabbi, you should go and walk in a cemetery. If you walk by the cemetery, not one Jew would die. You don't need to make parnasa. For the one time you wanted to put a wallet on the floor, you decided to be blind that moment. Which means, yeah, that's it. So going back to what I say, how do we know how much ishtadlut we have to know? Because it's very hard to evaluate ourselves. Anyone here can raise his hand and say from 0 to 100% what's his level of confidence in Hashem is? And if you think that it's 50%, do you really think it's 50%? Maybe it's only 20. Maybe it's even more than what you think. How do we know? It's a very critical question. How do we know the connection that I have with Hashem? The answer is, depend on how much fear we have about the future. We have to marry our children. Are we worried about it, or are we 100% relaxed? 100%. If we worry, that means we don't have emunah, not enough at least. Someone who is a believer, he doesn't know what fear is. It doesn't exist by him. Nothing. He's not worried where to live, he's not worried about the mortgage, he's not worried about the rent, he's not worried about the person owing money, nothing whatsoever. He doesn't have this fire on him, what's going to be, nervous. You know, did you ever see a monkey with gray hair? Did you ever see a bald monkey? What's all this pressure, losing the hair, having white hair, stress, the eyes is vibrating, anxiety. Every other person in New York, Rabbi, I have a problem. I have anxiety attacks. I have all kinds of attacks. You know, this is a list of a list. I'm not a psychologist. But I said to him, why exactly do you have an anxiety attack? You know, business is what it used to be. It's not what it used to be. So I said to him, okay, so instead of 10 million a year, you make 3 million a year. So why, what's the reason to have attacks, you're not falling asleep? I have a friend, he's a doctor. You should see the life he has. Most miserable person on earth. Making almost $2 million a year and doesn't sleep one night. Not one second, he cannot sit tight. He's nervous all the time, under constant fear. I'm begging him to work on his emunah. Nothing works, zero emunah. All the time lives in fear. What's going to be? How it's going to be? This, that. Someone stole a patient from him in a hospital, fighting. If the health insurance, he has insurance. His wife wants to go on vacation. He's thinking how many thousands of dollars I lose every day. I told him, don't be a fool. Parnasah comes annually, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, not per day, not per hour. It's a general budget. So if you take a week off, it doesn't take a cent from your Parnasah. Your wife wants, go with her, make her happy once in a while. She constantly work. Take her away, let her refresh a little bit. So after a month of constant work, he finally agreed to go. And he went, and he went to a vacation, and there was like some kosher cruise or whatever, glad kosher cruise that they organized. And he's a doctor, and he's sitting in Shal Shudes, on Shabbat afternoon, and next table to him, one very famous business person that you probably all know who is, begin to choke. He ate a big chunk of meat, and it's stuck in his throat, and he coughed, and it's already been going on, he cannot breathe. He's already, that's it, he's about to die. And everyone scream, and his wife is screaming, and the children right there are screaming. Try to imagine what's going on over there. And everyone scream, anyone is a doctor? You sit right next table. So he say, believe me, I worked 5 minutes on him and I almost gave up. My hands, I just couldn't do it. Tried to take it out, pressing on his stomach. The last second I saved him. I saved him and it took another 2 minutes until the atzala of the boat. The boat is so big, it took them 7 minutes to arrive. By then you'll be dead. So I said to him, you see, you finally worked on your lack of emunah, you wanted to make your wife happy, Hashem gave you a bonus. You save a life of a person. And that person is very big in tzedakah, in kiruv. So now he's going to have a share in everything he does for the rest of his life. For the one time he wanted to do something for his wife and not worry how many thousands he loses every day. This is how it goes. Mitzvah goeret mitzvah. Mitzvah goeret mitzvah. So the Chazon Ish said like this. If a person would be 1 hour in his life released from the connection to the materialistic world, kavlei achomer, the cables of the home, the handcuffs of the material world, free from any materialistic hunger, 1 hour he will be released from this curse that constantly is holding us every second of our life, he will already reach such a high level that there's nothing to compare until now and from now on. For even 1 hour, he'll be able to get released from this materialistic constant pressure all the time that a person constantly is connected to this world. I once heard a beautiful pshat by Rabbi Eliezer ben David, very big chacham. he spoke, he said, you know, everything that Hashem does, every punishment he gives, it's midah keneged midah. Same thing schar, same thing onesh. So he said, why there is such a thing skila? Why Hashem invented such a thing skila? I mean, there's so many, the Gemara said there's 903 ways to die, lo aleinu. 903 different ways. And the worst one is askara. It's that sickness that choke the person slowly, and they cannot breathe anymore. One of them is skila. The question is, why Hashem invented such an idea? Everything Hashem does is obviously 100% brilliant. And he has his reasons. He didn't just out of nowhere made it up. He has a reason for it. So what is the concept in skila? That a person falls from the mountain, from the hill, all the way down. And what really kills him? The law of gravity. What's the law of gravity? The law of this materialistic world, the world of material. The world that he loved so much, the desire for material that he loved so much, is used in the end against him to take him away from this world. Midah keneged midah. What made you be mechalel Shabbos? You wanted businesses to open on Shabbat. The register is booming. Shabbat is the busiest day. All kinds of things, you know. So what is it? In the end, midah keneged midah. Now, one more thing. It says in Chazal, Sha'arei Dima lo ninalu. All the gates are locked. The gates of tears are not locked. So one Chacham asked, if it's the gate of tears, it's called a gate, and it never got locked, that means it's wide open forever and ever, why is it even called the gate? Should have not been a gate. Should have been a Sha'ar. Sha'ar is always open. Entrance. It's open. Entrance. Why is it a gate? It's something that get locked and reopened, get locked and reopened. What is it? So the answer is, even though it's not locked, for some people it does get locked. To who? People who cry to Hashem, they use their tears for nonsense. When they come to cry for something critical, this gate is locked for them. They have to work extra hard. But someone who only cry for things that Hashem want him to have, such as Torah, Yirat Shamayim, a good Shiduch, to correct his midos, and all the rest, then not only Hashem is happy from what he does, he has any incentive in the world to help him. My son wants to be what I want him to be. Of course I want to help him out. But if he cries for money, if he cries for fame, if he cries for kavod, if he cries for averot, for all kinds of things. You know, some people, believe it or not, before they rob the bank, they read Tehilim. Capital, three capital. Hashem, help me out that the operation goes smooth. You know, one gabbai in the shul, I was sweeping the shul. And then he see the biggest thief in town showed up, middle of the day. He comes to the Aron Kodesh. He goes like this, and the gabbai is in the corner, sweeping. He said, I wonder what this ganav is asking from Hashem. So he say, Hashem, please give me Ruach HaKodesh. Please give me Ruach HaKodesh. So the gabbai, his blood is boiling. This ganav wants Ruach HaKodesh? What the chutzpah this one has. He couldn't take it anymore. So he came to him, excuse me, I'm the gabbai here. I have one question to ask you. I hear that you're asking Hashem to give you Ruach HaKodesh. Exactly, you're not Rashi or the Rambam. What exactly someone like you would need Ruach HaKodesh? Why don't you first ask to be a human being? To stop making people miserable and ruin their life? This is what you have to pray for. What is the Ruach HaKodesh? So the ganav doesn't say anything. And then he says, okay, now when I relaxed a little bit, the gabbai said, can you please explain why you really need Ruach HaKodesh for? So the thief told him, I tell you what, sometimes I break into people's houses in the middle of the night. And I look around, and I don't know where they hide their money and treasure. I don't know, so I have to begin to open drawers, pick up the rug, searching everywhere. It may take hours. And then what happened? The owner of the house hears noise, and he takes a knife or something, he comes out, and as defense, I have to protect myself. I also have a knife, because if he comes to kill me, I'm about to get harsh, came to go. So I ended up killing him. I don't want to become a murderer. It's one thing being a thief, but I don't want to be a murderer. So I'm begging Hashem, give me Ruach HaKodesh, that as soon as I walk into the house, I know right away where the money is hidden. So I say to him, okay, no, go. So when he comes now, he comes the next day to the rabbi. I say, Rabbi, can you believe this? This is what happened here yesterday with this ganav. So the rabbi say to him, look at this. A person knows there is Hashem. Yes. He knows the shul, it's a special place. Yes, because he came to the shul. He knows the Sefer Torah, it's special. Yes, he opened the Aron Kodesh and he's hugging the Sefer Torah. He even has tears in excitement when he begs Hashem to give him Ruach HaKodesh. So that means he even believes in Ruach HaKodesh. But he cannot believe that Hashem will give him food to eat without stealing. This is the words of the Chazon Ish. The biggest fools are the thieves. They steal what shelahem. No, they steal what's not shelahem. But the Chazon Ish means your parnasa has to come one way or the other. You can get it in a kosher way or you can steal it. What is it like? A father has $100 in his pocket and he wants to give it to his son in the morning. He says, you know what? It's been a while since I gave my son a gift. He's doing well at school. Tomorrow I'll give him $100, make him happy. So he puts it in his pants and he's only the father and the son lives in the house. By the morning, the father comes, he gets dressed. Where is the $100? Disappeared. He knows who took it. The boy. Lo amad b'nisayon. He feels horrible. My son stole from his own father. So the boy will never know that actually this $100 was for him. You think, wow, what a smart kid I am. Now I have $100. My father never gives me anything. Look, I finally made din la'atzmi. But in reality, what really happened? He took what was his anyway. You're supposed to make whatever you make. If you stole more than what you're supposed to make, Hashem will clean the rest. If you stole less, he will give you the rest in a kosher way. So a person takes, whatever he takes, his parnasah had to come somewhere. Even the ganavim deserve to eat. Hashem still wants them here to pass the nisayon. So we conclude, because time ran out before I even started. And I mean, I know it's very short, but that's okay. We just conclude. The conclusion is like this. Everybody knows without Amal HaTorah, it's very difficult to be connected to Hashem. There's plenty of obstacles around. Barati Yetzorah, Barati Torah Tavlin. The Torah melt. It's like antibiotic. It kills the Yetzorah. One day a person does not learn, the Yetzorah grow tremendously. Im ta'azveni yom yomayim ezveka. You feel right away. Right away. There's many things. Shmirat ha'inayim, Shmirat ha'lashon, Shmirat ha'oznayim. There's so many things that can chas v'shalom separate us from Hashem. But if a person is connected to Torah every day, never miss a day, then the chance that he will be far from Hashem is much, much lower. The Torah connects, breaks all the obstacles. And I will finish with 1 second story, or 5 seconds. There was a father that tomorrow night he has to marry. It's a true story. It happens in Bnei Brak. He gives a shiur every day for a group of business people in Bnei Brak from 7 to 8 in the evening, after work. And he told them, tomorrow I cannot come, my daughter getting married. So please tomorrow do chazara. Go chevrutot, from everything we learned until now, go over it. So they all came the next day at 7 o'clock, and all of a sudden they saw 7:05, he showed up. So what's going on? Didn't you say your daughter is getting married? He said, yeah, she's getting married, but now that I found out that the rabbi still did not arrive, by the time he arrived, by the time he prepared the ketubah, it won't be before 8. And I'm only 5 blocks away here, so I ran quickly. Why should I lose the shiur? His daughter getting married half an hour, and he came to give the shiur. Why? Eved Hashem Amiti. Hashem comes before my daughter's wedding. The parents of Rav Zilberstein, the famous Rav Zilberstein, did not go to his wedding. They didn't know. An hour before the wedding, he was still expecting them to come from overseas. They say, we decided that the tickets, the airfare, people were not rich. We will send you that you can learn more Torah with that. Why? When a person understands what Sirat Shamayim Amitit is, all the nonsense is pushed back. Bezrat Hashem, I hope in the future to have more opportunity to see you. Please take free CDs. Thank you. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen.